This Sunday night on Old Time Radio Drama, Hopalong Cassidy with Whistling Ghosts from 1950. We'll have the Great Gildersleeve from 1952. That means Willard Waterman as the Gildersleeve, and Richard Crenna featured in the cast as Bronco. We'll have tonight also Let's Pretend with a story called Why the Sea is Salty. Takes you to Davy Jones' locker before things are over. That's from 1942. We'll have Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, the singing detective, though I'm not sure that he's going to sing in tonight's story. It's called The Insurance Matter. Also on hand, Dragnet, with a story called Police Academy, and including Jeff Chandler in a broadcast from 1949. And also tonight at about 10:30, enter the Hall of Fantasy with the Golden Bracelet of Amneris from 1953. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we begin with Hopalong Cassidy. William Boyd starred in film, on radio, and on television. Andy Clyde, for most of the time, was his sidekick, California, but not so tonight, and yet I'm not sure, don't know at all, in fact, who is playing California tonight. Our story, as all Hopalong Cassidy episodes seem to have been, is a mystery. Tonight, riding into his boyhood neck of the woods, California finds that his friend Patty Bowman has been murdered, and anyone who pokes around his place gets shot at by a whistling ghost. Our story comes from August 20th, 1950.
The Whistling Ghost. Hoppy and California are on their way back from the state capital up north after taking care of some Bar 20 business. California, who used to live in this territory, has talked Hoppy into taking a shortcut to Elbow Creek, where they plan to spend the night before they finish the ride down to the Bar 20 the next day. They should have been in Elbow Creek hours ago, but California's shortcut has taken a lot longer than he expected.
No, Dad, burn it, Hoppy. Now I went and got us lost. If I'd known I was taking us the long way around, I'd have kept my mouth shut tighter than a spung bear trap.
Oh, we're not lost, California. We just don't know where we are.
Well, I ought to know. I practically growed up in Elbow Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, hold on a minute. Yep. Right up here is Patty Bowman's cabin.
A friend of yours?
Friend? Oh, why, Patty and me was like brothers once. Say, Hoppy, why don't we bunk there tonight, huh? He'd be glad to put us up.
That's a good idea. I could sure use some sleep.
And by golly, I could sure use some supper. Oh, boy. Bacon, beans.
Always hungry.
Oh,
he didn't seem to be in his cabin. No light, no smoke in the chimney.
Listen.
Yeah.
That's Patty. But that's the way he always used to whistle. That's his tune. I'd know it anywhere.
Boy, he's in the ravine down there. Let's go down and meet him.
Patty! Patty Bowman! What kind of hospitality is that? He's a-shooting at us. Hey, Patty! It's me, California Carlson, your old friend! Hey, them last two shots was close.
Well, I'm glad that last one wasn't any closer. Come on, let's get over behind the cabin.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Hoppy. Oh, Patty must be out of his head, shooting at us like this.
Wait, look up there. He's riding off over the hill. See him?
Where? Oh, yeah, I see him all right.
Did you see that horse? Red and gold skew ball stallion.
Yeah, big, too.
Well, no chance of catching him now. Come on, let's get into town.
Yep, this is it. Elbow Creek. He changed a bit. That's the palace bar over there.
Let's go in. I'm thirsty. How about you, California?
For a non-drinking man, you sure do have an awful hard time passing a bar.
Howdy. What are you have, stranger?
I ain't no stranger. I practically growed up around here.
Why, California Carlson, as I live and breathe.
Glad to see you again, Mike. And this is my partner, Hopalong Cassidy.
Well, glad to know you.
Hi, Mike. Make that a couple of sarsaparillas, will you, Mike?
Oh, now, what kind of celebration is that? Oh, well, you boys look like you can hold your drinks. Two sarsaparillas.
Hey, you might answer a couple of questions for us, Mike.
Sure. Glad to if I can.
Say, what's come over my old friend Paddy Bowman? Has he gone crazy or something? He just now shot at us as we was coming in.
What? California? You must be the one that's crazy. Paddy Bowman was murdered 2 months ago.
On their way to Elbow Creek, Hoppy and California stopped by the cabin of California's old friend, Paddy Bowman. They thought they heard Paddy whistling from down in the ravine, but the bartender says Paddy has been dead for 2 months. While they're talking to the bartender, another man steps over to join them.
Evening, Sheriff. What'll it be?
I heard you fellas talking about Paddy Bowman. Mind if I join you? I'm the sheriff here. Downey's the name.
Sheriff, you remember California Carlson, don't you? This is Hopalong Cassidy.
Howdy, Sheriff.
Hi, Sheriff.
Is Paddy really dead like this fellow says, Sheriff?
Yeah, he is. He was found up in his cabin about 2 months ago. Somebody tortured him, then killed him. I'd sure like to catch the varmint who did it, too. We all like Paddy around here.
Well, if that wasn't Paddy Bowman we heard up there, then who was it?
Well, some folks around here think it's Paddy's ghost. The whistling ghost, they call him. Shows up every 2-3 nights. Been around for a couple of weeks now, more or less.
Well, for a ghost, he was doing some mighty real shooting.
Oh, they was real bullets, all right. Takes a few shots at anybody that pokes around up there. I don't guess you got a good look at him, did you? None of us have.
We got a pretty good look at his horse, Sheriff.
Oh? Well, now we're getting someplace. Come on, I want to hear all about this.
Sure, Sheriff.
No sense talking in a crowded bar. Now, about this horse.
He was the prettiest red and gold ski ball stallion I ever saw.
And he was big, too.
Yeah. I know which corral that skewball stallion ought to be in right now. You fellas think you'd know it if you saw it again?
Well, I'm sure we would.
All right. Let's get over there.
Whose place is this, Sheriff?
A fellow by the name of Slade.
Slade? Oh, I remember him. Tall, black-haired Dutchman with bright, squinty eyes. Runs the assay office.
Yeah, that's Slade, all right. Well, here's the corral. Good thing the moon's out.
Yeah, where's the red stallion? All I see is bays, chestnuts, and mustangs.
There he is, over there by the shed. That's the one.
Hey, let's go over and see if he's winded.
He's not only winded. This horse has worked up a lather. Slade must have ridden him pretty fast to get back here. Well, do we have a talk with Mr. Slade now?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't do us much good at that.
What's the trouble, Sheriff?
Well, Cassidy, I don't like to admit I'm a beaten man, but Slade's won every trick so far. I guess he's just about got me buffaloed.
How come?
Well, he's Mr. Big around here. Practically owns Elbow Creek. If I accuse Slade of something I can't prove, I'm out. He'll see to that.
Just what are you trying to prove?
Well, I think Slade is the Whistling Ghost, and I think the Whistling Ghost killed Paddy. I've got plenty of reasons for thinking so, but I don't know how to make it stick.
I got a little score to settle with him myself, Sheriff.
I've heard a lot about you, Cassidy. When I was standing there in the palace bar a while ago and heard California mention your name, I said to myself, that's Providence. There's help when I need it most. But, well, now I don't know. Pretty big thing to ask of you to help me out on this.
Hoppy, if anybody can catch him, you can. I sure wish you would, Hoppy. Paddy was a friend of mine.
All right, California. I guess any friend of yours is a friend of mine. Looks like the bar 20 will have to get along without us for a few days more.
Well, that's fine. Hey, why don't you fellas come on over to the house for supper?
Supper?
Thank you.
That's
we
a
will.
Good idea. Yes, sir.
about ready for dessert. We got three kinds of pie, apple, mincemeat, and custard.
Now, there's three reasons why I wish I was a married man. Apple, mincemeat, and custard.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll just have to give you one of each, I guess. I'll fetch it out in the kitchen.
Well, I guess we're about ready to get down to business, Sheriff. I'd like to get all the facts on this.
Well, that's why I asked Ben Clayton to come over.
Yep, between us, I think we can give you the whole picture, Cassidy.
That'll be a great help.
Well, Ben can tell you more about Patty than almost anybody. They was close friends ever since Ben set up his law practice here.
Just what have you got on Slade, Sheriff?
Enough to hang anyone but a man as big as he is.
Why, we've got three witnesses saw him go up to Patty's ranch the afternoon he was killed.
But when I asked Slade about that, he said he hadn't been near there. Denied the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And what about your whistling ghost?
Well, you saw the horse he was riding.
Yeah, Sheriff and I rode up to Patty's place about a week ago. We both heard this whistling ghost, but he got away.
And where was Slade at that time?
He said he was in the back room of his office, working late. Nobody saw him there. Nobody even saw him leave.
Three times when the whistling ghost was up there, Slade was in his back room working, he said.
You left out one big thing, Sheriff.
Yeah, what's that?
Motive.
Well, for one thing, Slade and Patty were at outs for years.
What about?
Gold.
One man had it and another wanted it, huh?
Well, not exactly. Patty towed some diggings into the assay office, about 15 years ago. Slade told him it was fool's gold.
Yeah, iron pyrites. Looks like gold, you find it the same way, but it's not worth the trouble of carrying it to the assay office.
That's right. Patty said Slade was lying and he wouldn't have anything more to do with Slade.
Well, that's why Patty's wife left him, wasn't it?
Yep. Packed up, went right back east.
Yeah, took their kid with her, too. I remember. I guess the boy was 6 or 7 years old then.
Yeah, she said Patty was a fool and it would just like him to wind up with fool's gold.
Well, you talking about Patty still? Oh, he did take it awful hard when his wife left him. Figured she wouldn't have done it if it hadn't been for Slade and that fool gold business. Well, here's the pie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, does that look good.
Clayton, speaking as his lawyer, what happens to Patty's ranch now that he's dead?
I wrote to his family, but they haven't even answered. I imagine they'll want to sell.
You know, some folks say the whistling ghost is haunting the ranch, so he can get the price down and buy it cheap.
Has anyone been trying to buy the ranch since Patty is killed?
Yes. Slade. He came to my office and made me an offer a few days ago.
My theory is Patty wouldn't sell, so Slade killed him, expecting to pick up the ranch cheap after Patty was dead.
But why does he want it if there's no gold up there?
That's just what I'd like to know. I searched Patty's cabin from top to bottom after he was killed, and I didn't find a thing.
I think we'd better ask the whistling ghost what he's after.
Oh, I can see it coming. We're a-going ghost hunting.
Well, he's not always up there just when you want him. Clayton rode up with me several times, but we only heard him that once.
That's right.
Suppose I stop by and have a little talk with Slade in the morning. And while I'm at it, I'll give the whistling ghost a special invitation to our party.
Riding through Elbow Creek, California learns that his old friend Patty Bowman has been murdered. So now Hopalong and California are digging their spurs into fresh trouble trying to run down the murderer. The sheriff suspects that the whistling ghost who haunts Patty's cabin is none other than Mr. Slade, owner of the assay office. So now Hopalong and California are calling on the Dutchman to see if they can't pick up a few interesting facts.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'm looking for Mr. Slade.
He's busy and back right now. Couldn't I help him?
I'm looking for some information. There's a piece of property around here that's for sale, I understand. I know what's on top of the ground. Now I want to find out what's under it.
Well, what property are you interested in?
Patty Bowman's place. I see you know something about it.
Yes, I've heard Mr. Slade speak of it. I think maybe he'd want to handle this himself. Lorraine? Go tell Mr. Slade a man is here asking about Patty Bowman's ranch.
All right, Mr. Archer. I'll go get him right now.
Well, the gold business must be pretty good around here. There's quite an office staff.
Oh, somebody finds a little gold now and then. Mr. Slade and Lorraine ran the office till lately. I'm just learning the business.
Archer, get me that coal down the Rainbow Mine.
Yes, sir. Where is it?
It's in the top drawer where all the folders are. How long is it going to take you to learn where things are? You are here 3 weeks now. You can't even sharpen a pencil without asking me how to do it. I don't know why I hired you in the first place.
Yes, sir.
Oh, quit picking on him. He's trying.
You stay out of this. What are you doing back here anyway?
Well, I just came back to tell you there's two gentlemen up front asking about Patty Bowman's ranch.
Why didn't you say so?
Well, California Carlson.
Yeah, howdy, Slade. This is my partner, Hopalong Cassidy.
Oh. Hi. What can I do for you, fellow?
I'm looking for some information about the Patty Bowman Ranch.
Why ask me about it?
You're running the SA office. You ought to know all about the property around here. I want to know if there's gold on the ranch. Oh,
sure. Fool's gold. Plenty of it.
Is there any other real stuff?
I told Patty Bowman 15 years ago that all he had was fool's gold. What I said then still stands.
Then how come you want to buy the place?
Did you come in here to ask questions about your business or my business?
Maybe your business is my business, Slade. A man riding a skewball stallion just like yours shot at us last night. That makes it my business.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm talking. The Whistling Ghost was out last night up at Patty Bowman's place. He was riding a horse that looked mighty like your horse.
Just what are you getting at, Cassidy?
That red stallion didn't work up a lather between this office and the corral at your house.
If you want to stay healthy, Cassidy, keep your nose out of my business. And stay off my property, too. Now get out of here.
I haven't finished, Slade. If you're going to get tough, you'd better be able to back it up.
Maybe this will convince you. No!
That'll get you nowhere, Slade.
Atta boy, Hoppy! That was a mistake, Cassidy. You haven't got anything on me.
Somebody's after something up there, Slade. We're pulling that ghost act to scare everybody else away. I don't scare that easy.
You've got everything figured out, haven't you?
Slade, I've got a pretty good idea of what's hidden up there, and I'm going to find it tonight, ghost or no ghost.
If you think I'm the Whistling Ghost, you're crazy. I've got my own theory about who that is.
I'll bet you have. Come on, California. We've had our say. Let's get out of here.
Sure, Hoppy. What are you going to do, Hobby?
We're going to ask the sheriff to go up to Patty's ranch with us tonight. We'll get Clayton to come along. If we fan out, the ghost can't shoot at all of us at once. One of us will catch him. I want to find out what he's after.
Well, I thought you knew. You just said that you even knew where it was.
That was bait, California. Bait.
Ooh.
We want to be sure our Whistling Ghost is up there tonight. So I just gave him an invitation to our party. And California.
Yeah?
This is going to be a surprise party for a lot of people.
Over there. See?
I don't think we're near enough yet.
Now, this is foolish. Are we just going to ride up together and let him pick us off like clay pigeons?
No, we'll fan out.
Well, let's do it, then. That's him. Down in the ravine there.
Well, I'll head left from here and cut down to the ravine.
Let's separate and get down there. What do you want me to do, Hoppy?
Let's go straight down to that cove. Keep your eyes open and don't miss a thing. We got to work fast or somebody will get more than he bargained for tonight.
Hey, listen. He's whistling again. Hoppy, somebody got him.
Come on, let's get down there.
Here
he is, over here, Sheriff. Let's get this handkerchief off his face. There, son. How do you feel?
Who is it? Who was shot?
Well, that's Archer, Slade's new assistant.
Let's get him up to the cabin and see what we can do for him. That'll stop the bleeding. You feel better?
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
I'll lie back and rest.
What's he doing up here?
This is your Whistling Ghost, Sheriff.
Archer?
But Slade's the Whistling Ghost. Ain't you got one ghost too many, Hoppy?
No, California. Archer is the only Whistling Ghost around here.
But Cassidy,
he was up here trying to trap Slade. You see, Archer is Patty Bowman's son.
Patty's boy?
Patty's son, Davy? Davy Bowman?
Wait, he didn't kill Patty, did he?
Of course he didn't, Sheriff. He was trying to trap his father's killer. That's why he was playing Whistling Ghost.
You mean we're looking for two people?
That's right. We've got our Whistling Ghost, but we still have to catch our killer.
Slade must have followed me up here a while ago. I guess he almost got me the way he got my father.
Oh, but Hoppy, we saw the Whistling Ghost on Slade's horse, remember?
Davy borrowed Slade's horse to come up here.
Yeah, but what was the big idea?
He was using himself as bait. Figuring the man who killed his father would see through the ghost act and come after him.
That's right, and I could trap him when he came after me.
And another reason he hung around up here was to keep people away from the cabin while he was searching it. Isn't that right, Davy?
A lot of good it did, too. I guess Dad was just kidding me in that last letter.
Why? What did your father write you, Davy?
Well, he was going to sell the place and come east to live with me.
Is that all?
Well, he said he had been going over his records and he thought he could get a pretty good price for the ranch considering what he'd taken out of it so far.
Just as I thought.
The way he wrote it sounded like he had something pretty valuable.
There was. Gold.
But then I got Clayton's letter saying he was dead and the ranch wasn't worth much.
So you came out to see for yourself?
Well, if there was any gold here, I didn't see it.
Well, I did a little talking around, enough to make me suspicious. And I got a job at Slade's office so I could keep an eye on him.
Just one more thing, Davy. What are the words to that song you were whistling?
Well, might as well tell you since there's nothing to it anyway. Dad used to sing,
"Here's a little lesson for the young and for the old. A fellow is a fool to hanker after gold. And just about the time you think you're getting pretty warm, you find it's always further than you can stretch an arm."
Now we're getting somewhere.
I thought the song might tell me where something was hidden, but I looked everywhere and I didn't find anything. I covered all the walls from floor to ceiling, and they're all solid.
You say your father mentioned in his letter that he kept a record of all his transactions?
Well, he must have. He said he'd been going over his records. But I didn't find anything like that.
We've got to find that record book. It'll show who Patty was selling his gold to. That's the one man who knew Patty had gold hidden. With that evidence, your man's as good as hung, Sheriff.
Why, I searched the cabin from top to bottom after we found Patty, and I didn't come across anything like that.
Well, Sheriff, I guess this is no time to worry about hunting business records. We can come back in the morning and find them.
Huh?
Right now, this boy needs a doctor. Come on, let's get him back into town. Clayton, why don't you ride on ahead and have a doctor ready for us when we get there?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll see you later.
Yeah, all right, Ben. We'll meet you in town.
Yeah, come on, boy.
Well, let's get going. Can you manage the ride, Davy?
Of course I can. My shoulder's all right. Doesn't hurt much now.
Well, Cassidy, this was sure a good night's work. If it hadn't been for you, I never would have thought of looking for two different people. Thanks to you, we got our Whistling Ghost, and pretty soon we'll have our killer.
Maybe sooner than you think, Sheriff.
What do you mean by that?
Hoppy, I knowed you was up to something when you hustled us out of that cabin so all fired quick. What are you going to do?
In about 5 minutes, you and I are going back to the cabin, California.
Yeah?
After all, we gave our killer an invitation, didn't we?
Then to heck with his shoulder. I'm staying with you.
He's in there, all right.
See him in there? The moon on him? Why is he standing on that bench?
He's tearing out the wall above the fireplace, Davy. Just what I thought he'd be doing. Wait here, I'm going in. Okay, that's enough digging for tonight.
Look out, Hoppy, he's got a pickaxe!
All right, come down off of that bench. I got some things to say to you. And keep your hand off that gun.
Don't come any nearer, Cassidy.
Now, let's try it
without the artillery. The law can take care of you from now on. Sheriff, light that lantern, will you?
Wait. Ben Clayton. I never would have thought it. Are you sure it's him, Cassidy?
The same thing fooled both of us, Sheriff. As long as we thought the Whistling Ghost was the killer, it never occurred to us to suspect Clayton.
Yeah, that's right, but I see it all now.
Clayton was still searching for that record book. you guessed part of the verse's meaning right. That line, "And just about the time you think you're getting warm," does point to the fireplace.
But I looked all over up there. There isn't anything hidden in those walls.
And that last line that both you and Clayton missed, Davy, you'll find it's always further than you can stretch an arm. That verse was sung to you when you were a little boy. It's just a little further than a boy's arm will reach.
Why, sure, that's what Dad meant.
Sheriff, if you'll help me lift this stone slab mantelpiece off, I think we'll find Patty's cash and record book inside.
There. Of course. Why didn't I think of that? It never occurred to me to look up there.
Hey, will you look at that? Well, there must be thousands of dollars worth of gold nuggets and dust in there.
I knowed you could find it, Hoppy.
Well, this must be the record book you were talking about, Cassidy.
Let me have a look at that, Sheriff. Uh-huh. I thought so. June 4th, Clayton sold 2 ounces. August 10th, Clayton sold 10 ounces. Well, this is the proof. No wonder Clayton was frantic to get this book.
Hoppy, I knowed when we started looking for the fellow that killed Patty, he didn't have a ghost of a chance.
You think so, California? Look behind you. California, don't you know we just caught the only ghost there was around here?
A whistling ghost, with the key to the whole thing being the riddle song being whistled. Walking Ghost, Hopalong Cassidy from August 20th, 1950, starring William Boyd. Next, The Great Gildersleeve. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After a long run as The Great Gildersleeve, Harold Perry decided to do something else. Unfortunately, perhaps, it really did not take off at all like The Great Gildersleeve had for him, and Willard Waterman, who was a WHA, a Wisconsin Public Radio veteran, I guess you could say, and worked elsewhere in Wisconsin in radio, Willard Waterman became The Great Gildersleeve for its last few years on the radio. And tonight, Gildersleeve wears his new suit home, and everything goes downhill from there as Gildy considers going on a big diet in this outing from August 13, 1952.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Kraft, makers of the one and only Miracle Whip salad dressing. We say one and only because there just isn't any other salad dressing like Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip is different, and it tastes different. Miracle Whip tastes so good, it's become the most popular salad dressing ever created. More Miracle Whip is sold than the next 20 leading brands of salad dressing combined. Try it. Make your salads better tasting with the one and only Miracle Whip. Well, this morning, the Great Gildersleeve took his little nephew, Leroy, down to Hogan Brothers department store to buy him a suit. And while he was there, he bought one for himself, too. Did he have it wrapped? Not the water commissioner. He's wearing it home, and it's quite a suit.
You bet. Latest thing, dill pickle green.
Hey, Aunt, could we walk on the other side of the street?
What for, my boy?
There's not so many people over there. With you in that suit, walking in this crowd is dangerous for a little kid. They get to looking at you and walk right over me.
Now, Leroy, let's not be jealous. You have a fine suit, too.
Holy cow, Unc, that color, dill pickle green. You could wear that to a masquerade party.
Masquerade?
Sure. Put on a mustard shirt and you can go as a hamburger.
That'll do, Leroy. You're just a little boy and you don't know anything about fashions. This color is so new it hasn't even been in the magazines yet.
Hey, Unc, how about getting some popcorn and going to a movie?
No, we have to get home, my boy. Bertie will be waiting dinner for us. By George, this is a good-looking suit. Nice lines. Snappy. Oop, pardon me, madam.
Why don't you look where you're walking, Unc?
Well, I just glanced in the shop window. Yep. Collar fits nice, too. Just like Esquire. Why do they make these store windows so short? Can't get a good look at yourself before you hit the doorway. Oop, excuse me.
Unc.
All right, Leroy, I'm looking for something. You're right here, in fact, in this big, shiny window. Yeah, this is more like it. You can't tell anything in those triple mirrors where they sell the suits. You see too many people.
Gee, Unc, why do you want to look into a paint store? Let's go home.
Well, I may want to buy some white lead. Yes, sir, Gildersleeve, you look pretty good. This coat with the belt in the back makes those shoulders look fine. The pants are nice, too.
Unc, I read a story once about a guy named Narcissus.
Huh? Who?
All he did was sit and look at his reflection in the water.
Oh?
You know what happened?
What?
He fell in the lake.
All right, Leroy, we'll go home. My name isn't Narcissus, and I'm not going to fall in any lake.
Hey, you got a tag on the back of your coat. Well, maybe this is your name.
The clerk probably left it there. What does it say?
That died. Boiled and pre-shrunk.
Yo, Bertie, we're home.
Yeah, come get a load of our new outfits.
Well, Leroy, don't you look nice?
Yeah.
And who's this man with you? This ain't Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yep. Didn't recognize me, did you, Bertie?
Say, would you look at that? Mr. Gildersleeve, you got a new suit, too.
Sure, the latest thing, Bertie. This is what they're wearing in New York now. Has pleats in the pants.
I got cuffs on mine.
How do you like this coat, Bertie?
Ain't that fancy? You know something, Mr. Gildersleeve? The way that coat's made, your shoulders is catching up with your waistline.
No, Bertie.
Look at the shoulders on my coat.
Of course, I only bought this suit because I needed it. A man has to have more than one suit, especially when he's a water commissioner.
Oh, for corn's sake.
How do you like the color, Bertie?
Oh, that's nice. What color is it?
Catfish green.
Dill pickle green. All the young men are wearing it this year.
Well, it sure makes you look young, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, I am young, Bertie.
Yes, sir. In that outfit, you could go to the college football game and sit in the rootin' tootin' section.
Sure I could.
Well, you could go to them games and help with the rootin' tootin' section.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
You fit right into that rootin' tootin' section.
Yeah, all right, Bertie.
Miss Gildersleeve, you know what you could do in that outfit?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right. You could go rootin' and tootin'.
Oh, brother.
Well, Bertie's right, Leroy. I'm no mossback. Plenty of fire in me yet. I'm full of beans.
Anybody home? Oh,
Lord. Well, Marjorie, hello, my dear.
Leroy, you look so nice.
Yeah.
Marjorie, notice anything about me?
Well, here we go again.
Oh, that's a lovely suit, Unky.
Catfish green.
Dill pickle.
It gives you a wonderful figure, Uncle Mort.
Like a dill pickle.
Leroy. Well, it isn't all the suit, my dear. Most of this figure is mine.
Round the waist, it's all his.
Little jokester. The trouble is, Marjorie, the clothes I've been wearing before made me look older than I am. Now, I'm not old.
Oh, of course you're not.
I'm right in my prime. Man doesn't come into his full strength until he passes 40.
That's right, Unky.
Yes, sir. Of course, my waistline's a little large, but I'm not fat. I'm just heavy.
Oh, you're wonderful, Uncle Morton. We love you.
Well, thank you, my dear.
Don't we love him, Leroy?
I think I'll go upstairs.
Yes. Wash your little face for dinner.
I'm going out and see Bertie.
Great. I think I'll slip in and take a peek in the hall mirror. Couldn't see much in that paint store window. Well, that's better. I'm not being like that fellow Narcissus who kept looking at himself in the water. I've got something to look at. Why, George Gildersleeve, why don't you admit it? You're a powerhouse. Look at those shoulders. And those arms. Really a sleeveful. Yes, sir, the head of the household. The white stallion leading the white horses. The bull moose leading the mooses.
Hey, is Marge over here?
Oop, there's Bronco. I'd forgotten about him.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, hello, Bronco. Marjorie, here's your little husband.
Oh, hello, dear.
Hi, honey.
The twins are over at your mother's, and we're having dinner with Unky tonight.
My little family.
What do you have in the package?
Hmm? Oh, well, this. Oh, these are some scales.
Scales?
Yeah, I'm going to put them in our bedroom so I can watch my weight. I weighed myself today, Mr. Gildersleeve, and I've gained 3 pounds.
Well, good. You're growing.
Oh, that's what worries me. I got quite a shock yesterday.
Oh?
Yeah, when I dressed in the morning, I forgot to put on my belt, and I didn't notice it until noon.
What was holding your trousers up?
That's what worries me.
Oh, Bronco, you never look better.
Certainly, you're just a boy. You could use a little weight. If you're going to lead the wild horses, I mean, be the head of a family like me, you've got to build yourself up like me.
Oh, no, Mr. Gildersleeve. No, just because I'm the father of twins, I'm not going to let myself go.
No, just a minute.
Oh, he's being silly, isn't he, Unky? Look at those muscles in his arms. Show him your arms, Bronco.
Oh, Marge.
Yeah, show us your muscle, Bronco.
No, Leroy, Bronco doesn't want to show his muscles. Wait till he grows up.
That buffalo's going to get bigger?
Leroy, stop embarrassing your brother-in-law. He's just a boy buffalo. A boy.
Bronco, remember how you used to chin yourself in the doorway?
Go ahead, show us how you chin yourself.
No.
Leave him alone. If he doesn't want to chin himself, he doesn't have to.
Oh, I don't even know if I can do it now. But I'll try.
Oh, boy, look at the beef.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Brother, look at him go.
Isn't he wonderful, Unky?
Oh, yes, yes. Show off.
Oh, I can only do 12. That's pretty bad.
Let's see you do it, Unc.
Me? Well...
Dinner's ready, Mr.
Gilbert. Oh, good. Dinner's ready. Let's go to the table, everybody. Time to eat.
Come on, Unc. Let's see you chin yourself just once.
Oh, Leroy, Unky can't do that.
No, that's not for a fat man. I mean, not that you're fat. I mean for a large man.
Oh, is that so? I'm not fat. I'm just well built.
Go ahead, Unc.
All right. Stand aside. Watch this.
Your feet are still on the floor, huh?
Don't rush me.
Well, you got 1 foot up.
Hey, look out, Mr. Gildersleeve. You're breaking the door frame.
Oh. Could have done it, though. That wood's pretty weak.
Why don't we try it on the railroad bridge?
What's so funny, Marjorie?
You hunky swinging in that doorway reminds me of the day we went to the zoo.
Wolfer, come to the table. Bronco, you sit on the left. Marjorie over here. Leroy over there.
This is where we always sit.
Well, sit there.
Hey, Bronco, remember that trick you used to do when you were living here? Crawling around the back of a chair without touching the floor?
Leroy, Marjorie married a husband, not a performing seal.
Oh, I remember that trick. Bronco was the only boy at school who could do it.
Bertie, bring the dinner.
It's coming, Mr. Gilsey. Show us how you did that one, Bronco.
No, I couldn't do it.
Sure you can.
Leroy, he said he couldn't. Don't you believe him?
Oh, go on, Bronco. You can do it.
Well, all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is pretty difficult. You've got to go around the back of the chair. Yeah. Without touching the floor.
Watch it, Bronco.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
Oh, keep your feet up, Bronco.
Yeah. Stand back. There.
Oh, you did it.
Hooray for Bronco.
Oh, you wonderful Bronco.
It was nothing.
Let's see you do it, Unc.
No, just a minute.
Oh, Leroy, don't be silly. Uncle Mort couldn't begin to do that.
Oh, I couldn't.
I wouldn't try it if I were you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You keep out of this. I'm the bull moose. I mean, the head of the household. I can do anything that kid can. And I can do it better, too.
Land alive! What you doing, Miss Gilsey?
He's crawling on the back of a chair.
What for?
Send back Bertie.
Look out, Unc. The chair's tipping. Unc, be careful. Are you all right, Unc?
Yeah. I'm all right.
You should have seen yourself, Unc. Like a balloon coming down.
Oh, Mr. Gilsey, you're a real comedian.
Don't worry about the chair, Mr. Gildersleeve. I can glue it back together.
The heck with the chair. Excuse me, children.
What about dinner, Unky? Aren't you going to eat?
I'm not hungry. I'm going to my room. Hall mirror. There you are, Gildersleeve. Just an old tub. Balloon going down. Narcissus, you fell in the lake.
The great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. Ever entertained buffet style? It's fun, isn't it? Fun for the guests and fun for you, too. Part of the fun is setting a beautiful table, wouldn't you say? And finding attractive new settings for your food. Let's say, for example, you're serving coleslaw for the salad part of your meal. You might pile your coleslaw in orange shells from which you've removed all the insides. Arrange them on a tray with a generous amount of parsley garnish and just watch the surprised faces. And if you've made that coleslaw extra good with Miracle Whip salad dressing, you'll see happy faces, too, as your guests taste that delicious salad. Miracle Whip gives coleslaw such marvelous flavor, a flavor that's lively, teasing, just sharp enough. And it's a flavor you won't find in any other salad dressing because Miracle Whip is unique. It's made from a secret craft recipe that combines the best qualities of zesty old-fashioned boiled dressing and fine, rich mayonnaise. And Miracle Whip has a perfect texture, creamy thick and smooth as satin, because it's blended carefully with special craft beaters. No wonder millions prefer it. Smooth and delicious, Miracle Whip has become the most popular salad dressing ever created and actually outsells the next 20 leading brands of salad dressing combined. Make all your salads taste better with America's favorite salad dressing, Miracle Whip. Now, let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. In the story of Snow White, the wicked queen had a mirror that told her anything she wanted to know. Up in his bedroom this morning, the water commissioner has a mirror that's telling him a few things.
Gildersleeve, you may as well face it. You look like a hippopotamus. A water-soaked hippopotamus. No wonder the family laughed when you couldn't chin yourself even once. When you fell off the chair trying that trick. In that bronco. Thinks he's smart. Well, I'm smart, too. And I'm not so fat, either, when I pull my chest up a little. Yeah, this mirror must be warped.
Miss Gilsey! Breakfast!
I wonder what the family will say when I get on to breakfast. Yeah, they probably won't say anything. Probably forgotten the whole thing. Sure. Yeah, I'll just act as if nothing had happened. And by George, I may bruise easily, but I heal fast.
Miss Gilsey!
Coming, Bertie! Bacon smells good.
Morning, Miss Gilsey.
Yeah, good morning, Bertie.
Good morning, Unky. We came over to see if you're all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Good morning, Bronco.
Hi, Unc.
Good morning, Leroy. Gildersleeve, you're in. It's all forgotten.
How's the acrobat this morning?
Oop. Acrobat? What do you mean?
Now, Leroy, you hush. Sit down, Unky.
I put a pillow on your chair for you, Unc.
I don't need it.
Your chair in the dining room is going to be all right, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'm gluing the seat back on.
Yeah, that's fine, Bronco.
There's your bacon and eggs, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, thank you, Bertie.
You ought to have a good appetite this morning, missing your dinner last night.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're all sorry about last night, Mr. Gildersleeve. It was my fault.
Oh, no, no, it wasn't, Bronco. We'll just forget the whole thing. Let bygones be bygones.
Oh, that's mighty nice of you, Mr. Gildersleeve. You're a big man.
Thank you, Bronco. What a fine boy.
We all want to apologize, Uncle Mort. We didn't mean to. I mean, when you fell off the... If you could have seen yourself...
Oh, Marge, cut it out. He couldn't help it.
I think you should have seen yourself like a balloon.
Excuse me.
Miss Gilsey, ain't you going to eat your bacon and eggs?
No, thanks, Bertie.
Where are you going?
If I can squeeze through the front door, I'm going to waddle downtown. What's that old saying? Everybody loves a fat man. Well, they don't love me. And I'm not so big. Quit quitting yourself, Gildersleeve. You are, too. Well, confound it. If I can put on weight, I can take it off. Lots of people do. Those ads in the paper. Mrs. Hogtight Kloon of Elbow, Indiana, loses 20 pounds in 8 days. Yeah, I'll show the family. I'll trim down. I may be a barge today, but tomorrow I'll be a speedboat. I'll bet Peavy can help me. Hello, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this morning?
I want to get some reducing medicine, Peavy, for a friend of mine.
Oh?
Yeah, fine fellow, but he's a little chubby.
Well, I have a number of popular brands. Does your friend have any preference?
No, he doesn't know much about these things. Of course, neither do I.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, here's a very popular reducing product, Dr. Biggle's Golden Formula. It hounds the pounds away.
Well, I don't think my friend would care for Dr. Biggle.
Now, here's a preparation quite a number of people are buying. Aunt Marion's Waistline Reducer. It's very effective. They tell of one fellow who used too much and his waistline disappeared entirely.
Oh, my goodness.
He had quite a time keeping his trousers up. He finally used his wristwatch for a belt.
Phoebe, is that story true?
No, but it sells a lot of merchandise.
Well, let's get back to my friend.
All right, Mr. Gildersleeve. How many pounds do you want to lose?
Oh, about 50 or 50. Peavy, I didn't say it was for me.
No, you didn't.
Well, all right. It is for me. But it's not that I'm overweight for my size, Peavy. I just thought I'd trim down a little.
Well, probably the cheapest way is to stop eating. It's very effective.
I know, Peavy.
Now, you look at the camel. When he goes a long while without eating, his humps disappear.
Peavy, I'm not a camel.
I'm only trying to be of service. Have you tried Judge Hooker's rowing machine?
Say, I'd forgotten about that. Rowing is awfully hard, but I'm desperate.
Well, you might give the judge a call.
No, I don't want to risk a call. The way I feel today, I could get stuck in that phone booth. I'll go right over to the judge's house and get started in that rowing machine.
Yeah, good luck. Don't fall overboard.
See you later, Peavy.
You're perfectly welcome to use my rowing machine, Gildy. It's here in my bedroom.
Well, let's get started, Judge. My position as the head of the family is at stake. I'm going to lose some weight if I have to row this thing clear to Greenland.
Nothing like a rowing machine, Gildy. That's how I keep my perfect 36.
All right, Horace.
Every morning, a brisk turn at the oars, and then I have a pick-me-up. Half a rye bun and a beaker of Kalak water.
Judge, please. I haven't eaten anything since last night.
Oh, would you like a snack, Gildy?
No, thanks. Maybe those camels have an idea.
What was that, Gildy?
Nothing, Judge. Oh, brother, I'm weak. Help me into the boat.
Sure. Now, you're at the oars. I call my bedroom Hooker Lake.
Yes, yes.
250 strokes on the oars will get you across. That's from Washstand Bay to Pillarslip Point.
All right, Judge, let me get started.
Left oar.
What's the difference? I'm rowing.
But you can't get across the lake unless you go straight.
Oh, my goodness.
Left oar.
Judge, are you in the boat with me?
Certainly. It's a long trip. I'm going along to keep you company.
Oh, brother, going across Hooker Lake on a rowing machine with an old goat. Water Commissioner, this time you've struck bottom.
Yeah, 246, 247, 248.
Left oar. 200
and left oar.
We're almost there, Gilda.
250. Oh.
We made it. You rowed across Hooker Lake.
How do I look, Judge? Have I lost any weight?
Oh, I'm sure you have, Gildy. You're the picture of health.
Well, thanks for the use of the rowing machine, Judge.
But, Gildy, you're across the lake. Aren't you going to row back?
No, you can row it, Judge. The way I feel, I'll just catch the first breeze and fly back.
That you, Mr. Gilsleeve?
Yeah, I'm home, Bertie.
Mr. Gilsleeve, you look awful thin.
I do?
You feel all right?
You know, I feel fine, Bertie. Never felt better, in fact. Where are the children?
Miss Marjorie and Mr. Bronco are over at their house, and Leroy's out in the yard. You're just in time for lunch.
Lunch? No, I'm not going to eat, Bertie. I'm reducing.
You what's it?
Bertie, do you know that when a camel goes without food, his humps disappear? That's what I'm doing.
Disappear?
No. I'm losing weight.
But you gotta eat. Everybody's gotta eat.
Well, not me, Bertie. Call Leroy. I'll sit down at the table with him, but I'm not eating.
Leroy! Lunch!
I'll sit down here at the table where he can see me when he comes in. Bertie noticed I was thinner. Leroy's bound to see it. Right, George Gildersleeve, when you set your mind to something, you do it.
Hello, Unky.
Oh, hello, my dear.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. Having lunch, are you?
Well, not exactly, Bronco.
Hi, Unc.
Hello, Leroy.
Boy, am I hungry. Where's the food?
You children notice anything about me?
You got a spot on your necktie.
It's something bigger. Yeah, I mean, don't you notice something?
Well, I don't see anything, Unky.
Well, you look fine to me, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Children, can't you see? I've lost weight. I'm thinner. I haven't eaten anything. I've been exercising.
Uncle Mort, you aren't doing this because we laughed at you.
Well...
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, not because of us.
Well...
Gee, Unc, we didn't mean it.
You didn't?
Oh, Unky, we wouldn't have you change for anything. We love you just as you are.
Sure. Don't ever change, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Children, this touches me very deeply. I should have known that you would... Excuse me. I...
What's the matter, Unky?
I can't get up. I was going out in the kitchen for a drink of water, but now I can't move. It's my own fault. Not eating since last night. Rowing across Hooker Lake. My strength is gone. I can't get up.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I know why you can't get up.
Huh?
I glued the seat of your chair this morning, and it wasn't dry yet.
Oh! Stuck to the chair. My new suit.
Uncle Mort... I'm sorry, I can't help it. What a character.
Oh, the heck with it. Go ahead and laugh. Bertie, bring on the lunch.
The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds. Making a fresh fruit salad... To be sure your fruit is at its flavorful best, take it out of the refrigerator a little before you want to use it so that it's cold but not too cold. Another way to make sure that salad will be delicious is to use Miracle Whip salad dressing. Miracle Whip has a simply wonderful flavor, a special lively, teasing, peppy flavor that no other salad dressing has. Make all your salads extra good with the salad dressing millions prefer, the one and only Miracle Whip.
Fine lunch, Bertie.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Goodbye, George. A man's a fool to worry about being a little chubby. Who cares? After all, it gives him a good, solid appearance. Makes him look important. Yeah, and successful.
You looking in the mirror again?
Who, me? Yeah, I wasn't looking in the hall mirror, Leroy. just passing by and happened to glance at myself.
Yeah.
So what if I am on the chunky side? I'm the water commissioner. Takes a big man for a big job. You can't haul a freight train with a bicycle. You got to have a locomotive.
Yeah.
Are you busy, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, no, Bronco. What is it?
Oh, I got trouble with the car out in front. I need some real beef.
Well, there, you see? When there's a big job to be done, the tune changes. All right, Bronco. Where do you need the real muscle?
Oh, I don't need muscle. I got my bumper locked with another car. Would you stand on it while I pull them apart?
That does it. Good night, folks.
Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, Dick Crenna, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Calling all sandwich makers, be on the lookout for Miracle Sandwich Spread when you are shopping. Take a jar home and discover what a delicious, different flavor this wonderful spread gives your sandwiches. Miracle Sandwich Spread is made by Kraft from America's favorite salad dressing, Miracle Whip, and spicy relishes. Use it along with the meat or cheese sandwich filling you like best. Or for the quickest, easiest, thriftiest sandwich you could want, use it alone between slices of bread. Get it tomorrow. Miracle Sandwich Spread.
Friends, forest fires create a shameful waste which weakens America. So memorize and observe these four simple rules of forest fire prevention as advocated by Smokey Bear. 1. Crush out cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. 2. Break matches in two after using. 3. Drown all campfires, then stir and drown again. 4. Find out the law before using fire. Smokey says, remember, only you can prevent forest fires. Tonight, enjoy the best of Groucho on NBC.
Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve, going on a big diet tonight, and featured as Bronco was Richard Crenna, who went on to do some serious roles, some serious, some not so serious. Early on, he was in some pretty light radio and TV fare, but then went on to do major film roles, as serious as the one in Sand Pebbles, where he played the captain of the San Pablo, Richard Crenna. Next up, we have a story about why the sea is salty from Let's Pretend. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.